Welcome to Growing Hope with Katherine Lang, coming to you from the rolling hills of Big Spring Valley in beautiful Alabama. Katherine Lang offers words of encouragement and hope to help grow up lives boldly pursuing peace and joy. Katherine seeks out the rainbows of life while sharing her lollipops of encouragement along her journey. Here on Growing Hope, she features words to help hope and grow courage, all while challenging herself and listeners to radical choices and bold purpose. This is Growing Hope with Katherine Lang, where we are growing hearts open to pursue the extraordinary. And now, here's your host, Katherine Lang.
Hello and welcome to Growing Hope, where we are investing just a few moments to grow up hearts open to pursue the extraordinary. I am Katherine Lang, and I am your rainbows and lollipops host because there is power in seeking the possibilities, and I intend to grow up that power and to share it with everyone that I encounter and that I can share with. The more I share and the more I connect, the more that I find my own determination and my drive growing. I was recently challenged to share on video and to take my wins and my challenges for the week and reveal them to the ones that I was sharing with. Now, I spent quite a bit of time talking myself out of sharing. I had good reasons, and I even had plenty of excuses. But then the rain started, and I thought, I'll just use the rain as the backdrop for my sharing. It wasn't perfect, but it inspired me to do more with my day than to sit around and think up reasons not to do, and to settle into the excuses that were trying to hold me back. I confess that my appearance was one of the main reasons that I struggled to step in front of the camera. I've been recovering from a sty. And for those who don't know, I think it's a fancy word for an eyelid pimple. But no matter what you call it, the experience is not fun. If someone says, hey, you want a sty, you just go ahead and tell them, no, thank you. It's not nearly as much fun as it might sound. But my brother, who I call Dr. Dan, diagnosed me and he prescribed warm compresses and cold compresses, both of which I have been using. But the eye being the eye, this tiny little bump has talked all the rest of my eye into joining it, and I look a lot like a cyclops. Not exactly something you want to share on camera. Once I determined to quit making excuses, I found a way. I put on my lipstick, I put on my glasses, which will tint when exposed to the sunlight, and I used the scenery and the rain and the glasses to help reduce the feeling that all you could see was my eye, or my light thereof, because of the swelling. I have a lot going for me, swollen eye or not. And when I make the choice and the investment to use what I've got, then I stand bold in my unique attractiveness. And if I want to grow up relationships, then I have to be attractive to others, which may not mean what you think it means. I spent much of my life defining attractive by the rules from someone else's game. Sharing my stories with you have helped more than anything for me to find a stronger foundation where I can stand. It has also allowed me to create a definition and an understanding of attractive that matches my unique place and purpose. Being attractive is not about red carpet outfits and makeup. Being attractive is not about the standards that they have applied. Being attractive is about being the best me that I can be where I am and working daily to invest in better choices for my health and my shine. First, there is rest, because getting rest is the most important tool for being attractive. I need to get the right amount of sleep and take the right amount of breaks to keep my energy level on point and to keep my emotions in check. Second is my health, which includes what I put into my body and how I use my body. I need to eat to fuel my body. I need to drink to refresh my body. I need to move to keep all the joints and organs working properly. Third is my heart, because what is on the inside will affect my ability to be attractive to myself and to those around me. Fourth is my shine, and that is what people see on the outside. So I get up, I get dressed, I brush my teeth, I put my best foot forward, even if I'm the only one that's going to see me that day. Because investing in my shine will always keep me at my most attractive. And fifth is my actions, or my attitude, my behavior, or my doing and my being. Nothing spoils the attractiveness of a person quite as fast as unattractive actions. I've never considered myself to be a pretty person. I tend to put myself more on the cute scale than anywhere else. My short stature, my big hair, and my rainbows and lollipops attitude always struck me as more cute. But not everyone would agree. I still recall those words said to me when I was 14. You're fat and your pants are ugly. For the longest time, I was afraid to even go near bootlegged pants because I didn't want to have someone declare my pants ugly ever again. Then I began to understand that what one person finds attractive, another person may not. It goes back to the understanding that we are all unique and that we all have unique tastes. Being attractive, though, in this sense, is not about pleasing someone else's tastes, but about being comfortable in who I am and where I am as I journey forward into all that I'm designed to be. Attractive, at its very essence, is embracing me and my unique self. It is about taking all that I am and all that I am uniquely designed to be and standing bold in that design that God created. The unique me designed in purpose, on purpose, and for a purpose. It is about being comfortable in my skin, but about understanding that it is about more than just my skin. It is more than skin deep. Because of past hurts and the lives of the great they out there, I can remember only a few times that I truly felt attractive over the course of my life. The one that stands out the most is when I was in college. I was teaching ballroom dancing, which had me on my feet up to 10 hours a day, on 4.5-inch heels, mind you. I also took a full course load in school that included dance classes. And just for good measure, I was doing stretching exercises every morning and every evening so that I could keep up with all this dancing. I remember that I felt I was in the best physical shape of my life, although I still weighed the same as I had in high school, which used to be the way you measured whether or not you were attractive. I not only felt the best, but I carried myself with an attitude that reflected the feeling that I felt my best. But I stopped feeling that way about the time I had my second son, in part because a good friend, or someone I had deemed to be a good friend, pointed out how much I had let myself go. I went home and I looked at myself, a mother of two boys, and saw only the pale skin from not having the opportunity to go outside because of the toll the pregnancies had been taking, and the extra weight that reminded me that remained with me after the pregnancies. It has taken almost a full decade to overcome those words from my friend, and there are still days when I'm just not there. Changing my understanding of attractiveness has gone a long ways in making it possible for me to get past those words from my past. First, I've learned that being attractive has a lot to do with rest. This is not just about the amount of rest, but the type of rest that I get. I used to lie in bed for what felt like hours trying to get to sleep, and goodness gracious, if someone woke me up during the night, say a crying baby or barking dog, then I would have to go through the whole process again to try and get back to sleep. In the last few years, I've found a peace that makes it possible for me to go to sleep no matter what is going on around me. Just recently, the college kids were playing board games next to my door. Most nights, I get 6 hours of sleep. Some nights, I get around 4 hours. A few nights, I crawl into bed about 7 p.m., and I don't wake up until my normal wake-up time of about 4:30. I allow myself to get the amount of rest I need. And yes, I even make time for naps now and then. Rest makes a huge difference in my attractiveness. And sorry, folks, as much as I love my coffee, no amount of coffee can make up for the right amount of rest. You need rest to be attractive. Second, I have to invest in my health. Several years ago, I stepped up to take a green smoothie challenge that focused on raw foods and getting more greens into the diet. I knew that I had needed to make some adjustments, but I just couldn't figure out what I needed to do. So every day I made raw dishes for me, and then I incorporated those dishes into the main meal plans for the rest of the family. And even my boys were willing to try the raw chili and the green smoothies as long as there was other food for them to enjoy. I became aware of the value of food as fuel. I began to understand the importance of the drinks I consumed for keeping my health in balance. And because I was fueling my body better and keeping the body saturated in the right amounts, I had more energy to keep my joints and muscles moving, which meant my overall health improved. I'm not where I need to be right now, I know that, but I know that making the right choices in my health makes me more attractive in my day-to-day life. Third, what is on the inside will impact my attractiveness. A heart that's focused on hope and light draws more to it than a heart focused on negatives and darkness. I personally always prefer to be around bright and happy people because they make me more bright and happy. I knew a guy, a very attractive guy according to the world standards. He was tall. His hair was jet black and curly. He had some of the bluest eyes that any human could want. When you saw him, you thought, oh, he's so attractive. Until you met him. You would not want to look at him again after you met him. His negative attitude soured even the most dashing of looks. What is inside directly affects attractiveness. Fourth, I need to shine to be attractive. That is the outward glow that comes from an inner confidence. That confidence doesn't exist in a heart that is not right and not focused in the right direction. The heart is right will allow everybody to see it and reflect. It reflects in the outer shell. I went to an event the other day, not in the peak physical condition I have always wanted to be in, but I had a heart focused on hope and possibility, despite the negatives that really had been bombarding me at the time. And I had a shine about me. I could feel it. I felt good. And I had more than one person mention how great I looked, despite the fact that I was only wearing lipstick. I didn't even bother putting on makeup for that event. I felt bloated because of the situation going on around me and because of my eye. There were lots and lots of negatives that were trying to push me down, but I felt good on the inside and it reflected on the outside. I even had one lady comment to me about how we all get fatter when we get older. And in the past, that would have really disturbed me and haunted me. But this time, my shine was able to bat that comment aside and keep going. Shine is the outward expression of the inward confidence that comes from a right heart. And fifth, my actions will reflect my attractiveness. When I am doing what I'm designed to do and I am being who I'm supposed to be, then I will draw people towards me. A nasty attitude will drive people away. Nasty actions will drive people away. The better behaviors and better attitudes reflect the only way to be truly attractive. Being attractive is only a small portion of physical attributes, and it's much more my spirit and my heart. I have seen the models in the catalogs and the actresses on the big screen and the small screen, and I get that I'm not like them, or not like the majority of them. There was a time in my life when I believed that they were the true marker for being attractive. I spent most of my growing up years wanting to fill out a pair of tight leather pants and a leather jacket and red heels the way Olivia Newton-John did in Grease. But I was never built to match her measurements. I mean, even as a young girl, it's always been, it's only been in the last few years as I've studied scripture in more depth that I've started to understand that true attractiveness comes from a place much deeper than a pair of tight pants. In Genesis 12, and again in Genesis 20, which really is my go-to place for attractiveness, Abram and Sarai, because God had not yet changed their names to reflect the people God was growing them up to be, well, they were going into foreign lands. This is two different stories. It happened more than once. And Abram feared for his life because he didn't want the people to kill him so that they could take Sarai as his wife. So he said, tell him you're my sister. Now, this is really, to me, a cool story, multiple times, because it speaks highly of a heart focused on God things. Because Sarai was probably around 65 years old at the time of these stories. And the king looks out onto her out in the field, and he sees her and is so impressed with her attractiveness that he wants her as a wife at 65. Sarah was so hot that the king wanted her. This is true attractiveness, and it comes not from a physical part, because Sarai was already beyond childbearing age. This beauty radiated from her heart and covered her entire being. That is my goal in life, to be so focused on God that I radiate His light and His beauty no matter what my physical age. It helps me to remember that this place of beauty is possible not because of anything I do other than the focus that I choose. The beauty is there. It radiates because I am uniquely designed by God, crafted by God, on purpose, with a purpose, and nothing God has ever made is a mistake or without beauty. David made a similar proclamation in Psalm 139:14 when he said that he was fearfully and wonderfully made because he was a work of God, and all God's works are wonderful. Samuel also points to the true it factor being something that goes beyond the skin. In 1 Samuel 16:7, God is guiding Samuel to anoint the next king, and God tells Samuel not to consider his appearance or his height, which is a really great thing for me because I think I've already mentioned that height is not one of my gifts. But the point is that true beauty and that it factor that attracts others to relationship with us is something that goes much deeper than the physical outer shell. Thank you so much for joining me on this journey today to dig down beyond the skin deep of attraction and discover the keys to truly being attractive for growing relationships. I would love to hear about how you are putting these ideas to work in your life and what other experiences you are uncovering along the way. You can email me at radio@katherinelang.com. Also, remember to check out all the free ebooks that are inspired by this show, and you can download those PDFs by visiting katherinelang.com/ebooks. They're free. Tell your friends. Share the ebooks with others. Let's pass on this encouragement, this understanding of relationships, this boldness that God has called us to live out. I also would love to have the opportunity to engage with you and connect with you all around social media. You can find me by searching Katherine C. Lang, or on Facebook, I'm The Katherine C. Lang. On Twitter, it's @KatherineCLang. On Google Plus, it's the plus symbol Katherine C. Lang. And on YouTube, it's again The Katherine C. Lang. You can also listen to all the syndicated broadcasts of Growing Hope by visiting katherinelang.com/on-air. There's also a form there if you want me to come speak at your next event or to come teach at your next conference. I would love to have that opportunity as well, and there's a form there to connect us. Look, it's all about relationships. Everything that we're doing and everything that we're growing worth having comes down to relationships, and I have to make the choices that are going to make me attractive to you by being the best me I can be. And when I do that, I help build the foundational relationships that are going to drive me forward and also allow me to be an encouragement in your own journey. I am Catherine Lang, and I am your Rainbows and Lollipops host, because every day holds a promise of more, and every action contains the power of possibility. It's not about what the world says or even what the world shows. The strength of hope and encouragement will and does push through the limits and walls of the world. My prayer is and always will be that the words I share are helping establish a foundation of hope that will shatter the delusions of the world around us. Remember, be blessed and be a blessing.
Thanks for joining us this week for Growing Hope with Catherine Lang. Catherine is a leader in encouragement, a networking specialist, and your Hope Smith extraordinaire. To learn more about Growing Hope, visit Catherine's website at www.catherinelang.com. That's www.catherinelang.com. Catherine is also available to speak or teach at your next event. Use the contact form on the website or email Catherine with queries or questions at contactus@catherinelang.com. If you are looking for more hope and inspiration for your week, you can sign up for the Reflections column that mails out each Sunday at www.catherinelang.com/reflections. And be sure to join us back here each week for Growing Hope, where Catherine shares her heart for encouragement and her vision for hope. Until next week, keep watching for that place where your heart is open to pursue the extraordinary.